Hey Singapore, you're watching episode 17 of SG Sports Uncut. I'm your host Raj Kumar, and Uncut is a show that brings you closer to our Team Singapore athletes and officials. On today's show, we'll talk about the sport of cycling. Just recently, the Singapore Cycling Federation announced a bold and ambitious new project which could put Singapore on the world map in 10 years' time. So the big question is, can they truly deliver the goal by 2030? Let's find out more from our friends from the SCF. Hi everyone, welcome to episode 17 of SG Sports Uncut. Dr. Heng Sion Chen, the President of Singapore Cycling Federation. We'll start this discussion with you. It's been almost a month since the major announcement of the launch of Pro Cycling SG. Yeah. Congratulations on the launch.
Thank you very much.
For those who are still unfamiliar with this new initiative, perhaps you could summarize the program.
Okay. Pro Cycling SG is a professional training academy that we've started up, that with a professional team that will be out to represent Singapore in the future. Mm-hmm. So we've been thinking about setting up Pro SG for cycling for some time, and finally, you know, with the moons and the stars all aligning, and with the support from Sports SG and pulling in potential sponsors, we have finally started the groundwork and the actual launch of the team. Yeah. Mm.
That's great news, and very timely as well.
Yes.
When was the idea first conceived, Pro Cycling SG, and how long did it take for this idea to materialize and turn into fruition?
Okay, reality. As I was saying earlier, it's something that the management committee and our coaches and our staff have been thinking about for some time. Mm-hmm. And as well, the community have been asking us when we'll finally launch a professional outfit. I think over the years, past 5 years, Singapore Cycling Federation has been growing from strength to strength. We have been consistently achieving targets and medals at, you know, regional games like Southeast Asian Games and even on UCI races around the world. Mm-hmm. And because of that, and because of the structure of our committee that has been formed, and we are pretty confident now that we can run a professional team, we approached Sports SG with our proposal, and they thought it was pretty timely as well that they could come in and step in and help us with it.
Nice.
So in the past 1 year, we've been in talks with them, and we've also been in talks with Greenedge Cycling, which is going to be our professional consultant. Mm-hmm. And just last month, we managed to put a deal on the table to sign it off.
Nice, nicely done. Let's hear from General Manager of Pro Cycling SG, as in Adrian Ng. What was your role in the development of this program, Adrian?
My role is actually to put it into a plan and see how we can actually materialize it. So looking at our current national training squad setup, how many of them are inside, and also the selection criteria that's required, you know, for them to progress from a national team eventually to become a professional cyclist. Mm-hmm. That's actually another level that's being required. So looking at all this, how we can therefore make it sustainable, and also to draft out a 10-year plan, and that's how all this come about.
A 10-year plan?
Yeah. So basically, it takes about 10 years to actually fully develop a cyclist that eventually can race professionally. Mm. So, you know, the amount of fitness and commitment that's required for a professional rider is very much different from your day-to-day cyclist that, you know, cycles on the weekend. And also the fitness that's required for a national team versus a professional rider has itself also another category. So looking at it in a broad view, we actually managed to figure out what are the requirements, and we therefore draft up the pathway for the next 10 years. And also we share it to Sport SG, and we tell them why, and we work closely with Singapore Sports Institute to actually look through the plans and see how viable we can make it and how sustainable we can. And that's how Pro Cycling SG come about.
Mm. Of course, when I saw the story, I mean, the main thing that caught my eye was in 10 years to see a Singaporean in the Tour de France.
That's our aspiration. Yes.
How many of our national cyclists are you hoping to include in this initiative?
We are going to be very inclusive. we welcome anybody that can actually hit the requirement criteria that we need. It's not so much of us being trying to be exclusive, but to be able to become a professional cyclist, do have a certain set of requirements that's needed, you know, on top of, just training regularly. There's also a lot of time commitment. So there's also a lifestyle change as well that a person has to be prepared to make. You know, so some of this, therefore, will be able to ensure that the athlete will achieve the objective to eventually become a full-time racer and also eventually to reach our 2030 vision.
Okay. Yeah. Could you tell us more about Green Edge Cycling and their role in this collaboration?
Green Edge is currently ranked number one in the World UCI ranking. They have a very strong men and women's team. They have been there for quite a while, and they have been racing in the World Tour circuit, which includes the Tour de France, the Spanish World Tour race, and Giro d'Italia. It's quite well known in the cycling scene. Now, they have all the expertise that is required to be able to race in that environment. In 2030, that's our aspiration. We figure out that we need somebody of that caliber to actually tell us, you know, what do we need to do? Where are our current cyclists now, and what is the stage that we need to go past in order to reach there? And they told us that it requires about 10 to 12 years journey. They started since young, you know, and it's not so much of out of nowhere one cyclist just came in. There's a lot of planning and a lot of pathway involved, which a lot of people don't get to see. So we are lucky that we managed to have the support of SportsG, a good management team, the support of Singapore Sports Institute. With as what Dr. Seong, my president, has said, all stars aligned, and we managed to make it into a fruition this project.
And of course, the potential of a current crop of young, potential athletes as well.
Yeah,
right. Well, speaking of athletes, Samuel Leung is our third guest. He's one of our national cyclists. So, Samuel, how does it feel to now know that we finally have a world-class cycling academy in the Lion City?
It feels good as it serves as a stepping stone for us. It allows us to pursue our dream to ride in the Tour de France. And it also helps us to just strive to be the best in whatever we do.
Okay. So even though the program was just recently launched, are you already part of it, or are you working towards getting selected for it?
I'm already part of the national training squad, and this Pro Cycling SG is very new, and currently I'm working towards to be able to join the World Tour team 10 years in the future.
Okay. Seong Chun, we come back to you, to the common man on the street. What is the main message that you're trying to promote for them to understand the full context of Pro Cycling SG?
Okay, I think like Adrian has put it very eloquently, this is a program that is actually meant for everyone. I mean, when we were young, we all wanted to be sportsmen. You could be a footballer, you could be a cyclist. In my school, in my days, we never had cycling as a CCA. And now, we still don't have cycling as a CCA, but we hope to change that. I mean, I think there are people out there who want to cycle. And we hope that we can bring cycling into schools for those people who have an interest in cycling. So part of our outreach in this Pro Cycling SG Academy is we're going to send like your Milo truck out, but it's going to be Pro Cycling SG truck. I mean, remember Milo truck, right? Everyone remembers a Milo truck. So we want to do that as well. Send a truck out that says Pro Cycling SG during their sports day, during their Founders Day school outings. And we're going to set it up there. And we're going to bring a message that, you know, cycling is safe. So part of it will be our Safe Cycling Academy, which we have. So on one side, you know, we have two basketball courts. We teach people how to cycle safely. And on the other side, another truck, we open it up. And, you know, it's going to have very, very modern, professional e-bikes. You know, now e-racing is into it. So there's, you know, platforms like Zwift where you can actually practice cycling and race against one another. So we're going to bring that to schools. And you're going to invite the students down. Those who are interested, come try the bikes out. You know, cycle and, you know, see what's your power at the end and compare it to what Samuel has. His name will be up there. And then you
compare it. Already up there.
And you can compare it to, oh, maybe Goh Choon Phan, our SEA Games bronze medalist. What's his power? And then you can compare it to maybe Alberto Contador, a world-class rider, and they can look at it and say, hey, maybe I could hit his power, maybe I could hit the next one. And they will go to their teachers and they say, hey, we want to sign up. And we are already in talks with, you know, the current schools that we have under our programs that, this program is just for you, right? It's being sponsored. It's going to be pretty much free for you, right? There are sponsors, there's Sports SG, the program is existing. Right? We want these students to come on board. And, you know, we go to every school, you pick up, you know, 20, 30 students, and, you know, for the next 10 years, you're going to find a lot of talent, people who are interested. And that's what we want to do. We want to go out to the normal, common people. It's a pathway that we want to set up that, you know, that Sports SG is supporting us, and you know, our sponsors are supporting us. We want this program to be out there, a pathway for them.
I mean, until 5 minutes ago, it didn't occur to me that cycling is not part of the CCAs in Singapore, because maybe this is my own, because maybe the MOE feels that cycling is a leisurely activity.
Or it's dangerous, maybe. Or
I don't know. Okay, I don't know about the danger part though. But maybe because they feel that. It's a normal activity. So
it's a life skill. I think it's important. It's like swimming. I think swimming is a life skill. I think cycling is a life skill. It's, you know, in Singapore we're going car light now, and in the future I think we're going to cycle more and more. If you look around the schools that we have, that we approach, almost all the schools have a park connector right on their doorstep. We can tell the school it's safe. We'll take your students, we'll take them right on the park connector. In fact, we can cycle. Now, you know, National Parks is doing a great job. We have park connectors that connect from, there's a trans-island park connector that is 40 kilometers across. So I think cycling is healthy. It's an outdoor activity and it's also a life skill.
That's right.
It's something that we should pursue more.
And especially when you have big events every year like the OCBC and 20,000, 30,000, you know, take part. Why do you reckon the public or the Singaporeans should know of this professional academy? If there's one thing that you would have to single out, what is the one thing that you think a Singaporean would want to get out of it?
I think it's a beautiful thing to cycle because it... Okay, personally for me, why do I cycle? Work is stressful. I work in a hospital, I work in a clinic. And you just want time out there, cycling on the road. And it frees your mind. I think with most exercise as well. But cycling allows you to travel. You move great distances. And it's not just cycling in Singapore. You could cycle overseas and see the mountains, see the forests, cycle in Japan, and many different things. And cycling it brings you out to different places and helps me meet people that I normally wouldn't meet in my normal social circle. So you can meet people from all different races and different backgrounds. So I think this pro cycling is trying to promote that. At the end of the day, I think for me, racing is just one part of it. Maybe a big part for both of them, but as the president of the Cycling Federation, I think cycling is, this academy is trying to reach out to parents and students and tell them that, hey, we're forgetting our roots, you want to go out and cycle again, and you know, go back to your basics. I think that's my message for everyone. This is a very good setup, it's good investment for the future, and it's going to reach a lot of people.
Okay, well said, well put. Adrian, to get a Singaporean to qualify for the Tour de France by 2030, that is the underlying message and the mission, but why 2030 and perhaps not earlier?
Okay, so we spoke to GreenAge. They have told us that a standard cyclist takes about 10 years. Okay. It's not a sport whereby you can shortcut the process because of the amount of fitness that's required. Your body takes a while to adapt. And also, you know, if you travel up to Europe, it takes a while to adapt to the kind of lifestyle as well, because there's a lifestyle difference.
Because you have to be based there.
Yeah, so also you have to train and race there. A lot of traveling. So if you are new, as a national athlete, you don't travel as much as a professional cyclist. So there's a certain change. All this is not within 6 months that you adapt. It takes years. And also knowing how to live in different hotels. You know, they travel to hotels when during the race. So all these lifestyle changes, a lot of people don't get to see. And it takes a while, quite a bit of time to really adapt and perform. So if you can't adapt, you can't perform. So it's as easy as that. So the adaptation process takes about 10 years.
Now, could you tell us more about the Michelton Scott men's team and the possibility of a Singaporean to be part of this elite group?
This is actually a very tall order. Currently, we actually do identify one cyclist to go over next year to attach to them, to be an understudy. There's a French word for it, it's called stage. So this is a term used in all professional World Tour team. Each team is allowed three riders. Each World Tour team has a space of three riders being governed by our national federation, our international federation. So Michelton Scott has actually agreed that it will allow one of the slot to allow one of our Singaporean national rider to actually take the trip over there and let them have an understudy over them. And it all depends on our rider, how he's able to keep up with the training and how he's able to adjust the lifestyle. Now, I did say a rider take 10 years, right, to build. We have currently a cyclist also who is a professional cyclist. His name is Goh Chun Huat. He's currently racing for a professional team in Malaysia. Okay, he's one of our cyclists that we identified, but we haven't confirmed anything yet, but this is one possibility.
Okay.
We are also leaving space for our other riders to see, but as I say, it really takes about that period of time. But that said, we also want to expose our rider to have a feel what is it like to be in a World Tour team. The training, the day-to-day environment is very different, and the back-to-back racing itself will take a toll on the body as well. And that itself also will take about 4 to 5 years. So the World Tour team is really the apex of our cycling professional. One step down will be the Pro Continental team, and another step lower will be the Continental team. So for us in 2023, we will be setting up the Continental team, which is the third division. So
that was this again?
2023.
Okay.
Yeah, we are working towards that.
Okay.
As part of our milestone to actually have a professional Continental team.
Mm.
The academy is actually an intermediate platform to actually prepare our riders before they become a full-fledged professional rider. This academy will prepare them to basically train the required amount of hours, the required amount of traveling, the required amount of racing, so that when they are transiting into a full-fledged professional cyclist, there won't be a shock to the system.
Right.
Yeah. So this academy is the key important milestone for them to eventually become a full-fledged professional racer.
Okay. Samuel, you're currently studying at Nanyang Polytechnic and you're training in cycling as well. I'm assuming that after you graduate, it's national service for you first. Yeah. And as for you. Thus, I guess being part of Pro Cycling SG at this point in time is not conducive for you at this because of the fact that you have NS coming up?
It's not that conducive, but it gives me a goal to work towards too once I'm out of NS, and I can say it makes my life in National Service less boring.
That's good. Is it your dream also to one day to be able to compete in the Tour de France, and how long does it take for any cyclist at that matter to be able to reach cyclists? I mean, he did say it might be 10 years. So, in your case, I mean, is it a dream one day to be on the Tour?
Definitely, yes. Every young rider always aspires to be one of the best, and now opportunity has been given to us to be able to live our dream. And definitely, I would take full chance of the opportunity and go for it.
So, the Tour de France is the pinnacle from, from where you are right now to the Tour de France. What other achievements would you possibly like to achieve on the route to the Tour?
One of the first goals that I've set for myself is to compete in the next SEA Games, which is held in Vietnam. And I hope that I'm able to achieve good results in the next SEA Games and bring a medal back for the country.
Nice. Okay. Yongchen, the idea to reach the Tour de France by 2030 almost sounds like the goal by the national football team to reach the World Cup by 2034.
Yeah.
That already has mixed reactions from the public since the story first came out. So in cycling's case, let me play the devil's advocate. I'll play. Do you fear a potential backlash if the NSA isn't able to achieve the objective by 2030?
It's good to dream. Without dreams, I think you'll never achieve anything. It is a tall order. Backlash-wise, fortunately, cycling is a lower profile sport, so maybe not that many people would know what the Tour de France is as compared to the World Cup. But among the cyclists, I mean, there will definitely be a lot of, you know, wonderment and doubts. And, we can only say we can try our best. I wouldn't dare say that we will guarantee that it will happen, but we will try our best.
Maybe I can touch on it also for my boss. I think we need an aspiration to work towards too. Okay, that's the main important thing. And that's why when we say that Tour de France is our aspiration, we also have a vision, which is a gold medal in Asian Games comes 2030. It is the same. So with that target in mind, all our riders will be motivated to work towards too. Rather say, if we don't have this aspiration or don't have this vision, we will just be training blindly.
I mean, that's a great point. What would you say our targets along the way in the next 10 years to achieve as part of this journey to the Tour de France and Asian Games gold medal? What are the other targets?
I think our targets, if you're talking about high performance, is to be consistently, you know, at the top. To be a medal potential, so that when you go for a race, it's never just for participation. You're going there to win. I think that's very important. I mean, among our riders, we always teach them, you have to be hungry. When you go there, you go there as a lion. People must be afraid of you. To win itself, I think it's very different. I'm not sure. I do cycling. I'm not very sure about other sports. But when you say you have a potential to win a gold medal, it doesn't mean that you will win one. But you are in the running for winning it. Because cycling is a very difficult sport with a lot of variables. On that day itself, you could be the best rider and you have a puncture. Or you could be the best rider and we've seen it before. Just before the finish line, a dog runs across and hits you off your bicycle. It's not a controlled environment. So what I can promise is that we will be there to be on the front line, to be competitive. Like, you know, this year Chun Huat, who won the bronze medal, he could have got a gold. They're all there, they're at that level, but you know, for that day, it's a special day for you, a special touch. Everything must be correct on that day, and you get the medal. But the more you try, the more likely you have it, and the harder you train, the probability of getting it is there. So regarding whether we can get a gold medal in 2030 at Asian Games, I say we have a good chance. But you must remember, Thailand is there, Iran is there, Kazakhstan. I mean, they are world tour riders with world tour teams, you know. You can be competitive with them, but to finally win, it has to be your special day.
Chun Huat, his age at currently?
Currently, Chun Huat is 30.
30.
Yeah, by 2030, it won't be him in the Tour de France. It will be our new breed of riders for the national development squad.
But he certainly could be the standard bearer as to what.
Yes, is. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. If you look at Chun Huat, he has really been in the system for 10 years.
Yeah.
So he's like what Adrian says, that 10 years that you require, he's at his peak now. If we discovered him 10 years earlier and we had the system that we have now with the new training programs and with everything we had, it could be a different story. It could be even more successful.
Okay. Adrian, I believe the cyclists who are part of Pro Cycling SG will also be paid salaries and allowances when they are actually full time on board with the academy.
Yes, so this is something that is going to be very exciting, a bit unheard of in our Singaporean context. So we want to nurture commitment. So one way of nurturing commitment is to actually have an agreement being signed between our riders and us, because that teaches us basically having a black and white document there and KPIs there. You will narrow down our vision to try to accomplish the KPIs that we have set ourselves. Coming into the academy is no longer, you know, it's just like a weekend sport where you feel like it, you do it. You don't feel like it, you stop. You know, there is certain KPIs that you need to meet eventually to help us reach the goal. So all these KPIs are aligned to our 10-year milestone, you know, which we have approached Michelin, Scott Greenidge for advice. You know, what do they do? And we kind of use their advice and put it into our Singaporean context.
Mm.
And these are all small milestones that cannot be overlooked. Yeah, and okay. That's what set us apart.
Are you looking at opening this academy only to Singaporeans, or you
know? The academy will be Singaporean focused, and opportunity will be given to Singaporeans.
Only.
Okay. When we are,
That's what you meant by inclusive at the very start.
Yes.
Right.
When we open up the 2023 Continental team, we will have foreign riders that we open up to them.
Mm.
And again, the foreign riders' purpose over here is not just for racing. Mm. They have to be able to talent transfer their information to our local riders. Everything we do have to be benefit back to the ecosystem again.
Mm-hmm.
And the ecosystem is to have a Singaporean rider to reach the apex of the game.
So the foreigners will not be racing for the Singapore flag?
No, they will be racing for the Continental team,
okay,
but not the national team, because that will be between national teams itself.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Samuel, you've only been cycling competitively for slightly more than a year.
Yes.
Wow. And in such a short time, you've competed here in Singapore, as well as in Thailand, in Indonesia. How would you sum up your cycling stint so far with the national team?
I can say it's a very good experience, as most of my friends around my age, they don't have the same opportunity as me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very grateful for Singapore Cycling Federation for giving me with this amazing opportunity. And I'm sure to treasure it as a memory.
Mm.
And hopefully able to guide the young ones in the future.
Okay. You missed out on the SEA Games last December in Manila. Thus, is Vietnam 2021 your next major target in terms of a SEA Games debut?
Yes, that is the current goal I'm working towards too, and hope to achieve results in Vietnam. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll be in national service by then, right?
No, not yet.
Okay, so it's still okay.
Yeah.
Seong Chen, what can you say about the development of Samuel Leong as a national cyclist in just 12 to 14 months, I think?
Remarkable.
Yeah.
I wish I was young again. I think it's very good. I think you found a club team.
And
he's been racing with his friends.
His
parents are very supportive.
Mm.
I think his dad cycles. The mom, she's not too happy that she can't keep up with you anymore. But I mean, I think it's a family thing, and I think having a good family support is very important in any sports in Singapore.
Mm.
And I think parents are nowadays seeing that sports is also important, maybe even as a career eventually.
Okay. Does he fit the profile of what a pro cycling SG trainee should ideally be?
At this point in time, yes.
Mm.
Yes. If I can find 10 more of him.
Mm.
Well,
Chloe block
them.
We'll come from a few more outside.
There is a lot of hope. Yeah, I'm feeling hopeful for the future.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Adrian, the new academy will see our cyclists train in satellite centres with access to a velodrome.
Yes.
Where are you referring to?
So we are actually targeting, but not firm yet, we are targeting Johor and Selangor, because these two are near to a velodrome, and it also has road cycling terrain.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has a BMX track. Yeah, so basically we are targeting these two areas simply for the convenience,
okay,
next to a velodrome.
Okay, so Johor will be the nearest?
Yes, the nearest.
Okay, next door. What is the report card on this academy you'd like to see in 2025, 5 years down the road?
So 2025, of course, I would like to see that our base, our recruitment drive in our school program, going school to school, I would like to see our base of our national development squad increase to about more than 20 riders, because the pyramid is quite steep, right? As you go higher and higher into the apex, you know, so we require a larger base.
Mm.
So I hope that one of the report card is to basically get as many people to participate in cycling first, and eventually gradually build themselves up towards the apex.
Mm.
So more participation, and also being more inclusive and inviting more schools. So that would be one of our key goals, because we already set up the pathway all the way through to the world tour. So now it's just getting the people in.
Mm.
We need to invite them and and encourage people to take the bold step to come in, you know, to join this vision with us.
Including stakeholders and sponsors as well. Dr. Hing Siong Cheng, as the president of the SCF, I'll let you have the last word for this segment, because we're going to speak to your secretary general and two other national athletes in the next segment. So how is SCF coping now with the COVID-19 situation?
Very carefully. Okay, well, I'm in the front line of COVID because I do general practice.
Yeah.
I mean, today I saw 8 cases of potential COVID ones as well. So I think it's a really realistic problem that we have now. The most important message I have to everyone is, if you're not feeling well, you have to have a social responsibility of not going out and staying at home, rest at 5-6 days, and you will know whether it's going to get better or worse. If it gets better, you know, you're fine. You can go back to all your activities and work. If you get any more serious, then you would want to go and check out at the hospitals and test for the COVID-19. It's very important because you shouldn't just rely on people screening your temperature and, you know, you're not well, because temperature alone is not the only thing that determines it. So you must make sure that if you're not well, stay at home. Social distancing is the most important. I think COVID-19 has quite an effect on all our SCF plans for the next 1 year. We were going to have, you know, races, but most of our races are going to be 300 participants, 400 participants or more. So with the recent announcement that there's a advisory against events that have more than 250 people, whether it's indoors or outdoors, I think that will have an impact on all the races that we organize. So SCF is sanctions national championship races with UCI. We generally conduct about 7 races over the spectrum of cyclocross, mountain bike, road bikes, individual time trials, and most of this event, for these races, we have more than 300 to 400 riders based on last year's participation. So we may have to either decide on delaying them until the point where it's safe, or if it's going to be a long-term thing, maybe we have to cancel it for this year. So keep your ears open.
Okay, would you like to say a word about your NSA's sponsors and the support you receive annually?
Definitely. There's many sponsors out there, so I'm not able to list every single one of you, but I think you know me because I approach all of you. I'd like to thank you all very much for all the sponsorship. Well, especially OCBC. OCBC has been our longest term partner from the time before I even started. They have been supporting our team a lot. And I think Sports SG as well. I think we'd like to thank them for having the confidence in us running the programs. This is like a new program for us, Pro Cycling SG. You're talking about a 5-year plan. I've been with SCF when we first started till now, it's about 5 years as well. And if we had a report card, I think we've managed to achieve quite a lot in the past 5 years. And only because we've been working very closely with Sports SG and SSI and OCBC as well. And we hope that over the next few years we can continue to do so.
Okay. Adrian, Samuel, Dr. Hing Siong Chen, first off, congratulations on the launch of the Academy, Pro Cycling SG, and all the very best in your future endeavors, in your careers, as well as for cycling in Singapore in general, for the athletes, for the public, for the community at large. So all the best to your success.
Thank you
for coming aboard SG Sports Uncut.
Thank you.
Hi guys, welcome to episode 17 of SG Sports Uncut. Ronnie Yap.
Hi.
As the Secretary General of Singapore Cycling Federation, first off, could you tell us how many types of cycling disciplines come under the umbrella of the SCF?
Okay, so currently we have 4 active disciplines. There will be the road, the track, the mountain bike, and the BMX disciplines.
Okay, so that's 4.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so in total, how many athletes in both the men and the women do you have under these 4, under the national training setup?
Okay, for the senior athletes under the training setup, we have 17 men and women.
For the road development squad, we have 20. Mm. And for BMX and mountain bike development squads, we have another 10. Mm. So altogether, there'll be 47 athletes in total.
Wow, close to 50.
That's right.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Next up, we have one of our national athletes in Team Lawrence Smith, who's also just 1 year with the national team set up. You started off with mountain biking. What got you into the sport in the first place, Tim?
I think, first of all, my whole family ride bikes. Mm. So naturally, they got me on a bike. And of course, I wanted, you know, as a youngster, you always want to do something fun, thrilling. So I took up mountain biking at first. Mm. I hit the trails regularly on the weekend with my parents. Mm. Then slowly, over time, I picked up road cycling, and then I started riding more competitively. Mm. And here I am today.
Wow, okay. And within 1 year, you, just like your teammate Samuel Long, in the first segment of the show, have chalked up impressive resumes in terms of competitions. Which would you say is your most significant achievement in cycling so far?
I think the most significant would be the National Road Race last year. That was my big result.
Right.
Third place, first time on the podium for me.
Wow.
So really just got more motivated afterwards. Love the feeling on the podium.
Nice. What age are you currently?
Currently 19.
19, okay. Also on the show today is Darren Lim, a national cyclist who specializes in road racing. Darren, how has 2020 been treating you so far?
2020 so far has been really well. I think it's a lot, it's getting better than last year.
Mm.
Because last year when I first started out training, when I first got into university at the same time, there's a lot of time management stuff, trying to get the new habits in, and then now it feels like part of my lifestyle. It's getting a lot better.
Okay, you're presently pursuing a direct honours degree at NTU in sports science and management, correct?
Correct.
So how then do you find time to train in cycling, recover from training, and still have the energy to study? I mean, how many hours in a week do you train?
Typically for us as a national athlete, we train about 20 to 25 hours, sometimes more depending on the phase of the training. So juggling it initially was pretty tough, but then now because I'm in university, there are modules, and then sometimes there's gaps here and there, like a 2 hour gap in the morning or in the evening. That's where we can squeeze in our training.
Mm.
Yeah, and then for recovery, just make sure that I eat well, I sleep well. Yeah.
Okay, coming back to Ronnie, let's talk SEA Games. How many athletes did we send to compete in Manila, and in how many events?
Alright, we brought up 5 men and 3 women.
Hmm.
We participated in, that's 3 of them. Yeah, three of them. Yeah. So we participated in the road men's ITT, individual time trial, the men's road race, the women's individual time trial, as well as the women's road race. So in total, 4 events.
4 events?
Yeah.
Our cyclists came back from Manila with 1 silver, 2 bronze medals. Congratulations. What was SCF's initial target before the games? Initial target before, and what is your post-games evaluation?
So naturally, we hope for the high end. We certainly hope to have at least 1 goal.
Mm.
At the back of our mind, we know realistically speaking, looking at the terrain as well as the level of competition amongst the other nation and their riders, I think what we have achieved was realistically what our target was. So I think the boys and girls did really well, and I think 1 silver and 2 bronzes is really nothing to be sneezed at.
Nice. Okay, Tim, could you tell us a little bit more about being a national athlete and the challenges that you go through? For example, where do you train? When you did mountain biking in the beginning, and which facilities do you train now?
I think previously when I did mountain biking, you just hit the trails on the weekends, you know, have fun, do a few loops, then head back home.
When you say trails, where are you talking about?
Usually Bukit Timah or Kent Ridge.
Right, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So right now when doing more road, we have more structured training as a national athlete. So got your intervals, and then you got your long endurance rides. Let's say on weekends when I got more time, I usually do my endurance rides. And on weekdays, I would do my intervals, usually at Salita because it's like empty roads.
Mm.
And sometimes I come to the SSI downstairs, use the stationary bikes to do our intervals.
Your endurance racing training? What's the distance are we talking about?
About 70 to 120 kilometers maybe. Usually we look at more at time. So yeah, it's something like 3 to 5 hours for endurance riding.
So 120 clicks yeah, would take you how long?
120, 4 or 5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Usually we ride around the perimeter of Singapore.
Right.
In order to get those distance. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have to go overseas to train? And what are the costs involved in shipping your bike for competitions and training?
Right now, I haven't gone overseas to train yet, but I've done a couple of races overseas. Mm. Not that far away, usually in Malaysia or Indonesia.
Mm.
So the fees usually is not a huge amount.
Mm.
So you need to take a ferry, you need to pay for a bit additional charge to get over. But yeah, usually get supported by the SCF.
Okay, so does the SCF, do they grant you an allowance for training and other expenses?
No, not as of yet.
Not yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Darren, have you had to come up with your own personal costs in order to improve on your own cycling and racing skills?
Because I've just started as a national athlete. Initially, yes, of course, my bike. And then I was lucky enough to be sponsored by Cannondale in Canasia in Singapore. So they gave me a bicycle, they lent me their time trial bike, which actually got me spotted by the Singapore Cycling Federation. It was the individual time trial.
Okay.
Yeah, so really kudos to them. Right now I have to buy my own nutrition, get my own trainer, my own bike. If the tire wears out, I have to replace it. All the normal wear and tear stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
What type of bicycle do you ride, and how much are we talking about in terms of your investment in gear and equipment?
I'd say I spend about over 3,000 in Sing, including stuff, the important stuff like helmets, the power meter, the tires, chains, and everything.
But if you didn't get the sponsorship and that bike, how much more would it have cost?
Well, definitely over 6,000-7,000. You're looking at that figure.
Okay.
Yeah.
For road racing, I'm assuming you can't train on local roads. Road racing.
Specifically for road racing, Singapore, I think the closest one we have is the group rides on Sunday morning. But that's the closest we can get. Because of the number of traffic lights Singapore have, it's not very realistic.
Yeah.
I think we do have to train outside of Singapore sometimes.
Okay. Ronnie, we have a young group of national athletes who can win medals regionally. I mean, you just mentioned about the SEA Games. If I were to ask you to name two things that our athletes require in order to evolve and become winners on a higher level, what would those two things be?
Okay, the first I would think would be continuing love for the sport. I think with continuing love, they will always strive to be better. They will want to learn more. They want to devote more time. They will want to commit more of themselves to the sport in order to excel. So once you lose that love, that's it. Because the sport is such a tough one, if you've got no love, you're not going to go anywhere and you'll just give up the bicycle totally. The second characteristic I would say is to be continuously humble. Because once you are humble, you will know that there is always another person who is better than you. You know that you will always have that another mountain to climb. You always have that new KOM, the king of the mountain. You have that new personal best that you always want to achieve. So once you stagnate, you die also. So you need to have that humility inside yourself to become the next champion.
Oh, okay. Could you touch on the level of coaching in Singapore, including at the clubs and academies? How highly qualified are most of them in Singapore?
All right. So the courses that we conduct in SCF are only of the two basic levels. One is the Safe Cycling Coach level. The second is the UCI level one. Okay, UCI, which is the international coaching level, has three levels, level one, level two, and level three, which is the highest, and it is a full diploma. So the top two levels, only UCI can dispatch their coaches to coach. So at our regional, at our national level, we only coach the two lower levels, but I guess it will suffice because we are not a really huge nation. You need to also monetize yourself as a coach. So I guess it works such that the Safe Cycling level and the level one is sufficient for our market at the moment.
So the SCFs, does the Singapore Cycling Federation conduct annual coaching courses for interested individuals?
Yes, we do. Minimally, there'll be one coaching course, one level one coaching course per year.
Per year, okay. Yeah. Tim, the SCF has set the vision of an Asian Games gold medal by 2030, and also to see a Singaporean compete in the Tour de France in 10 years. Do you think your background in mountain biking and duathlons will help you during training for the road race?
I think definitely having the age, the technical age, is always helpful, because when you're on a bike in a huge bunch, everybody is shoulder to shoulder, you must be able to know how to control your bike, you know, stay composed during those moments.
Okay. Yeah. Is the Tour de France your dream objective? If not, then what would it be? What would your ultimate target be?
I think Tour de France is definitely everybody's go-to dream, because it's like the pinnacle of the sport. All the best riders in the world go there. So knowing that going there and knowing that you're participating with the best in the world, and that you have to be one of the best too in order to get to that spot, is awesome.
Okay. Darren, as a road race cyclist yourself, with the launch of Pro Cycling SG, is it an academy that you had your sights set on?
I did wish to have something like this for to take place in Singapore, even like after I complete my degree, but it actually took place a lot earlier than,
which is good news.
Yeah, which is actually good news, so I can really learn as much as I can about cycling, so I can help our sport grow in Singapore in the future.
Okay, you've yet to debut at the SEA Games, but are you also setting your sights further on the Asian Games in 10 years?
Yes, definitely. But for the incoming SEA Games in 2021, I'm gunning for that as well.
Okay. Ronnie, earlier on in the show, we spoke to your NSA president, and he said cycling is still not a CCA in the schools. So is there anything that the Singapore Cycling Federation does at the youth level to sort of expose them to the sport of cycling?
Well, we do have a program called Safe Cycling at the moment. We partner with schools, and our trainers bring some equipment and bikes to the schools, and we teach the school children how to do proper riding, proper bike gear, bike wear, and proper safety drills. That will give them a good head start should they pick up the sport of cycling.
Okay. Tim, what are you working on for the rest of 2020?
So, it's definitely ramping up training. So, I know right now with the COVID-19, so it's a bit, you're not really sure what are the upcoming races. So, the best way is just to prepare the best we can so that we'll be at our peak when the racing season starts again.
Yeah. And what is your target to achieve possibly in the next 3 to 5 years in the sport of cycling?
I think definitely on the top of my list would be national road races, the SEA Games, and the Asian Cycling Championship as well.
Okay. Darren, what do you hope for the future of Singapore's cycling scene to be?
I hope Singapore to learn from other countries like Europe or Australia, where the road cycling or cycling or just cycling is very, very normal, that everybody sees it as a sport that they can participate, because it does not take into account your age, because people from like 15 years old to like people over 70 or 80 can even ride bicycles. So I envision that Singapore can get to that point as well.
Okay, yeah. And then for you personally, what do you plan to achieve within the next 5 years?
For myself, I want to train to a point where I get closer to my physiological limit.
Which in simple terms would be?
I want to see how far my body can bring me.
Wow, okay.
To the limit, yeah.
Wow, okay. It's a very interesting thing. No other athlete has sort of said that, but yeah. Ronnie, what is the main focus this year for Singapore Cycling Federation in terms of our national athletes?
I will take this year as a transition year, because it is post SEA Games 2019. We have taken stock of what has happened during the Games. We acknowledge that there are certain improvements that we need in terms of what we can do better for the coming SEA Games. With this pro cycling project, we are going to focus it on it quite highly on for this year. We're going to put a lot of emphasis, and we're going to drive this project to the best of our ability for this year.
Okay. And are there one or two exciting events that which the Singapore public can sort of take note of in light of the COVID-19 situation?
The first one is something which I look forward to every year, which is the OCBC Cycle Singapore Weekend. Mm. I'm a huge fan of that event, and I guess it's the biggest cycling event in Singapore, so I guess whoever can go should go and take part in that.
I think that's on the second weekend of May.
That's right. Later on in the year, towards the last quarter, which is our inaugural SCF cross-country eliminator event for mountain bikes. Mm. We are really excited about that because XCE, which is the short form for cross-country eliminator, is a real up-and-coming style of events throughout the world. It's basically using a mountain bike to go across urban terrain as well as man-made obstacles. And the viewing is extremely spectacular and exciting.
So which part of Singapore are you planning to have this?
We are looking around towards the Sports Hub area.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, nice. This is towards the end of the year.
Yeah, that's right.
What is your final one? What is your message to the fans of cycling? What would you like them to know for 2020?
Okay, despite all the bad news, I guess...
Of the COVID-19,
for cyclists is basically just get your bike, enjoy the warm weather, you know, get the sun on yourself, go and have a good ride as much as the weather permits.
Okay. Yeah. On that note, Ronnie, Darren, Tim, thank you very much for coming on board SG Sports Uncut. We wish you the very best in both your personal lives as well as for the sport of cycling in Singapore. You know, the Tour de France in 2030 and the Asian Games goal. All the very best in your personal pursuits as well in the sport of cycling. Thank you very much, Ronnie.
Thank you.
And you just heard from our friends from the Singapore Cycling Federation. The very best of luck to them as they continue to pursue the dream of having a Singaporean compete in the Tour de France in 2030. Well, if you have any comments about the show, feel free to drop us an email at sgsportsuncut@gmail.com. Till the next time, I'm Raj Kumar. Bye for now.